With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most biased podcast network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys. I forgot what toast tastes like. How good's footy?
Get the history books out, fellas.
Fucking a roast trinity. A triple roast trinity.
Three-peat, baby.
The three-peat.
We're in 2001, 2002, 2003 territory now.
It's too early in the podcast for me to have an erection. Please.
Please, Sean. You've had one since you saw Robbo slam one from 55 at three-quarter time. That hasn't subsided for 3 days. You need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, no, I've had one since we appointed Chris Fagan as coach.
Is he there 5 years now?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. It's been a rough 5 years on Sean's body, but beautiful for his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, a couple of things have happened this week. Some great wins, some absolutely horseshit games that maybe one of our teams played in.
Maybe. Who can say? Who knows? Maybe crime against the sport.
Yes. And also, Melbourne went back into lockdown, so this is back to recording over Zoom. Our unofficial sponsors of 2020, they're back in 2021.
Zoom and Sexyland.
Yeah, we signed a 1 year contract. It's been extended. At this stage, it's just this episode that you'll get that's recorded like this. So if the sound quality sounds a little bit more dog shit than usual, I apologize. But if it sounds better than usual, it's due to some excellent editing skills by yours truly.
Well done.
Yeah.
So,
well done.
Without fucking around too much, because there'll be plenty of that when we're talking about our games, let's get into it.
Let's go.
Friday night. Blockbuster. Prime time. Prime time, Thomas.
Game
Prime
of the year.
Time. What?
This was going to be game of the year. On paper, you look at this game and you go, this is game of the round. This is game of the season so far. This is some St Kilda Geelong 09 territory.
Yes. Very much.
Western Bulldogs took on Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. And boys and listeners, Western Bulldogs shit their fucking pants.
Oh my God, did they ever?
Libba.
Well, no, I reckon you talk about Libba. Melbourne looked at that star-studded midfield and went, oh, Bont, he's so good. McRae, yeah, sure. You stop Libba, you stop the Dogs. That's what they did. They shut him down, and there were a lot of other factors. They then, beat the defense pretty comfortably, all over the ground pretty comfortably. But shutting down Libba went a long way to shutting down the Dogs.
Yep. That's the blueprint.
That's it. It also helps that, Melbourne have some very good inside midfielders who also were able to go head-to-head with a very... Like, it was two very good inside midfields. One came in with a bit more of a plan than the other, and they executed it beautifully, and it panned out for them.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Tom, it's far too early in this season to be saying that.
this game panned out for them. This specific game.
Yes. And they played a scary brand of football. So watching the game, just watching bits and pieces when it was happening, I was like, fuck you, Western Bulldogs, the one game you didn't show up to. But then when I watched more of it, more longer passages rather than just flicking to it like I was, I realized that Western Bulldogs weren't necessarily playing bad. Melbourne were just playing scarily good.
Yes. For a long period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They faded a bit late, but by then the result was, over.
Oh, yeah. They took the foot off, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, fucking hell. If you are a Melbourne supporter, fucking hope you're still... Well, I mean, if you're a Melbourne supporter and you're in Melbourne, hopefully not in the street partying, but hope you haven't still kicking on in your lounge room from Friday night, because you've earned it. You've earned it this week.
There's a Melbourne... There's a Melbourne driver who comes by my work every day, and he's your typical pessimistic Melbourne supporter who's just been hurt, who's been hurt for far too long. Mm-hmm. And even just as little as a few weeks ago, he was still in that mode where it was like, oh, hey, how do you think you'll go this week? And he'd be like, oh, they'll fucking beat us. Oh, it's all going to come falling down. We can't do it. And now I talk to him last week against Melbourne. He was like, nah, we'll fucking smash him. We'll fucking smash him. No worries. And then got Brisbane this week. I will fucking smash you. It's over. We'll fucking smash you. And it's just like, what the fuck?
The lid is off.
The lid is off.
It's interesting. I think every Melbourne supporter has that, like, deeply wounded. They opened their heart up in that season where they made a prelim, and then their heart was crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Again, it's very fresh in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I reckon we're probably at the period of time where Melbourne supporters are starting to fucking tear up their ski fucking passes. Fucking calling Mount Buller and being like, not this year, cunts. I'm busy this September.
Buller's gone bankrupt.
They're not going to Buller. They're going to Freshwater. Freshwater Creek? What's it called? I don't know. I clearly don't ski. What's that one called? Falls Creek.
Okay. Falls Creek. Maybe? I don't fucking know, Tom. Do I ski? Tom. No.
Tell you what, and the fucking cheese industry should be absolutely shitting its pants because sales of cheese boards through the fucking roof.
It'll be like the toilet paper industry last year. Just fucking won't know what hit it.
I love that out of both Melbournes, there are two clubs with Melbourne in their name. One of them has an official cheese sponsor, and it's not the one that should.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they missed opportunity. This game, I lost interest early in the second half. I can't really get into the canned fake crowd as well.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's also, you can tell it's fake because there was a point where the Bulldogs were done and they kicked a goal and it was a regulation set shot and none of the players celebrated and the crowd roar was like, whoa, yeah! It's like, if that was an actual game, they'd be getting booed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, do you guys know what it, someone told me that it's like a pedal of a car. Is that right? Like, it sort of just hums along, and then when exciting things happen in the game, in theory, you should put your foot down a bit, and it gets a bit louder and things like that. Because if that's the case, they didn't really nail it.
I think Seven are better at it than Fox. Fox don't seem to do it.
Okay.
Fox seem to love, I will say, in certain games where maybe the crowd noise was entirely absent, because the game was horseshit and boring. Hearing the players just like call out and stuff, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It is interesting. That is interesting to get that sort of take on the game. To hear, you can hear, like, you don't hear full on game plan shit, but just to hear the actual players actually speaking, and you can catch on to a few things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like stuff like corridor, like them,
yeah,
like,
I was just about to say
stuff like
corridor.
That.
Yeah.
Is a big one.
Hmm.
Anyway, Tom.
Yep.
It's time for next game, and it's almost time to just move straight past your game, because it was, and look, we are quite the overblown, exaggerated podcast at times.
We are.
But with full honesty and no exaggeration in my heart, this was one of the worst games of football I have ever seen played, and I've seen a fuck ton of football. Collingwood took on Geelong, and fucking hell, they're honestly lucky there was no crowds there, because there would have either been riots or everyone would have left by halftime. Everyone.
Explain yourself, Tom. Explain it better. Fuck,
it was
mate.
A terrible game. It was a terrible game to watch. We looked good to half time. It looked like, okay, look, it's a bit scrappy.
I don't know if you did, Tom. You'd kick 5-8 and they'd kicked no goals 7. That's also like wasted.
It was
like very wasted.
Did you see the stat that I think Swamp put out where it was like the average scores for games with crowds and games without, and it's about a 30-point differential.
Yeah.
Cool. It just shows that crowds create more atmosphere. The ball moves different. Ball moves different when people are cheering it.
Mm-hmm.
Big players lift and kick, try more fucked goals, you know? Ball. If you're more likely to try to nail a cooked goal because the crowd's watching, I reckon.
Yeah,
I don't
definitely.
Know. It was an ugly game. we were brought down to their level, and I felt dirty watching this, and I'm glad we won. That is all else. I'm glad we won. And
yeah,
I'm glad,
Tom.
Yeah.
I'll just say, just to add to your point, it's harder to build momentum as a team because sometimes you get on a bit of a run because your crowd is lifting you. So, yeah, it kind of sucks. It's just a shitty situation.
Yeah. And it's been highlighted by every single football media in existence, but Collingwood's game plan was disgusting.
Oh.
It was filth. Geelong, it was...
How's this, right? So Collingwood are coming up against Geelong. We're missing four of our best midfielders, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really nail the ruck, and they've got to fit Grundy for most of the game.
Mm-hmm. Eh. Until you dropped him on his head.
Until he died.
But in the third quarter. Early stages, wasn't it? Third quarter.
We played the whole game in first and at most maybe second gear, and Collingwood couldn't run over us because they got the ball and instead of like looking at a target, they just chipped back. That's the corridor comment. In this game, you could hear players screaming corridor and instead the ball's going wide. The game plan is terrible, and they started to kick goals when they started to move the ball with a bit of something.
Yeah, Tom, they're a bad team. What's your excuse?
Oh, we played shit. Terrible.
Mm.
Sometimes, you meet your people. Missing a lot of players would be our excuse.
Yeah.
Jared Waitley was commentating this on the radio this game, and he said it's the worst experience he's ever had at the football. Never in his career has he wanted to leave during a game. He said in the third quarter, he just wanted to walk out and go home.
Yeah.
Just leave dead air on the radio.
Yeah, it was really bad.
He wanted to open the window and scream at the players because there's no one there and they would have heard him, but he said he didn't have the courage to do it. He wished Rex Hunt was at the ground.
Well, I was listening to parts of this game on ABC radio, which are usually a far, far, far more restrained, like just kind of like professional broadcasting, just like calling the game as it is. It was Adam Ramanaskis and... fuck, someone else. And at halftime, one of them was like, look, I don't like Collingwood. I've never liked Collingwood, but when they play like this, it makes me hate them. And then the other commentator, whoever it was like, look, I shouldn't be saying this, but I've never liked them either. Actually, it was probably the other way around. I think it was Adam Ramanaskis was like, I shouldn't be saying this, but I never liked them either. And then one of the commentators just left the commentary box to go get a tea, but... the other commentator was just kind of left in the lurch. He was like, I think he's just gone to go get a tea, but I honestly wouldn't blame him if he didn't come back. And then there was at one point, they were like, would you prefer to be at the other game commentating? He's like, no, just leave me here. This game should finish me off for good.
That's very good.
That was on ABC. That sounds like fucking Triple M. Imagine if Triple M had to fucking...
There would have been a Triple M broadcast. I wouldn't have listened to it. I watched the TV coverage, and at one point, boys, Jonathan Brown was like, this is Collingwood right now, this is the worst I've ever seen a team play ever. And I'm talking junior footy.
Oh,
he gave them a clip. He's like, this is insipid. What's the point of this? What's the point of this? And they're like, oh, Brownie. He's like, nah, what's the point?
Yeah, to be honest, that's fair.
What was the, like... I reckon Geelong was at half time and were like, oh, we've got to do something. This is awful. This is bad. So we decided not to kick any goals for the third quarter to see if it would help. Didn't. Dave kicked one.
You should have used this as a percentage booster, Tom, but instead you only won by 10 points.
Look, I think the fact that we won missing...
they kicked four goals on you in the last quarter. Pretty disgusting.
Game was over, mate.
I don't care.
We won the game. I'm never looking at this game. No player will ever look at this game again at Geelong. Chris Scott sat him down after the game and was like, are you happy? Good. Go home. That's it. There was no debriefing. That was the whole thing. The only bright spark again was the combination of Parfitt and Narkle playing beautifully together. Found out, you know why, boys? Housemates.
Oh.
Live together, hang out together, do jigsaw puzzles together. That's why they know how one another's brain works. They're feeding off one another.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was another thing similar to that energy that got brought up this weekend. There's a lot of like little secrets popping up.
It's good.
Yeah. Whew. But this game was horseshit. We spent 10 minutes too long on it. We've only spoken about it for 5 minutes. It's 10 minutes too long.
What the fuck, Tom?
This isn't about this game, but I learned an incredible Geelong fact today.
It better be fucking incredible, Tom. I'm getting ready to kick you out of the meeting. I'll do it.
It's about Harry Taylor.
The milkman.
The milkman. The legend of the milkman continues. I learned today that after every game of football, Harry Taylor played. Mm-hmm. So at the start of the season, he would write a pledge for the year. He would pledge. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in 2011, he wrote a pledge. I will give absolutely everything in this game today. I will be the most committed, ruthless, respected, disciplined, and honest player on the field. I will keep my focus simple and will push the limit to help my team win, right? Printed it out and then had lines. And after every game, before every game, he would write the round, the opponent, the time of the game, and then sign it as his recommitment to his pledge before every game of football he ever played in his career.
That's hectic, Tom, but that's an oath, not a pledge.
He calls it a pledge. I'm going to send you this photo.
He's drank too much milk and he's dumb now.
He calls it a pledge.
Yeah. Did he fulfill that pledge in his final game? No. Next game.
Left one unsigned.
No, he would have signed it. It was before the game.
I'm sorry, Tom. That's right.
That was a low blow on the milkman.
That was extremely low, and I apologize for it. But that's what you get when you talk about a fucking shit game for 10 minutes.
Yeah, look, it was shit. You spoke about it more than I did.
Nah, I had nothing to say.
You talked about Jared Wheatley and then douche.
Look at my audio next track. Empty.
Game.
Nothing.
Brisbane took on GW. Next game, Thomas. Brisbane Lions took on GWS, and fucking hell, you blew them away, Sean.
That's right. Look, I don't want to harp on about it, guys. It was an impressive performance. I don't want to waste too much of the show's time on one game specifically.
But you Brisbane can, are good, so you should.
Oh, thanks. I will happily. The Giants. Did you hear in the lead up to this game they flew to Brisbane and got sent back?
Yep.
And then had to fly up again on game day. Yeah, yep. It was a weird situation. That's and maybe fun. They were rattled because I think Brisbane kicked the first 40 points of the game.
Yes.
It was game over. It was fucking exciting. Charlie Cameron, I reckon, had the best one-goal game of his career. He was involved in like five other goals, and it all happened pretty early. Like, he was just firing off handballs, and he was pumped. He was absolutely pumped. Looked good in the jumper. I don't know if we talked about jumpers yet. It was Doug Nicholls' round. Brisbane's jumper was designed by Chrissy Johnson, who, for people who don't know, he's a former Fitzroy and Brisbane Lions premiership player, a fucking legend. It's like basically the Fitzroy jumper, but, you know, with an Indigenous sort of spin on it.
Looks really nice.
Honours the history of the club and honours the players who are currently on the list. It's fucking great. I love it. I might buy one. In fact, when Brisbane play in Melbourne, they wear like the Fitzroy sort of colour version of their jumper.
I just
wish that they would wear this one because it's the same colours. It's just the Indigenous jumper.
I reckon they might get it out of it. Teams seem to do this these days where they'll often give the Indigenous jumper another couple of runs. We used to wear one that Quinton Arkell designed, but this year we went with one that was designed by the same artist who designed the women's jumper, so they look quite similar, which is kind of nice. And I really liked it, and I think my gut feel will be that when we can have fans at the footy again and it's a Geelong home game, Geelong will roll it out.
Yeah. Well, I hope Brisbane do. Like, why not? Because, I don't know, our normal clash jumper's not that fucking good.
Hey, made you look unreal.
Yeah, mate. Fucking love
play
it.
Like that in that jumper.
It was good. I think we've won seven in a row now. Everyone's firing. Hugh McClaggage had a really weird game. He had like 12 touches in the first quarter, and you're like, oh, another three votes coming up. And then he had like four touches for the rest of the game. Pretty much just like they just sat a player on him and tagged him out of it. And Joey had probably his quietest game. He still kicked a goal. I think he's kicked a goal every game this year.
Mm. They were talking about Joey in the commentary. I think Healy might have been one of the people in it. They asked him, you know, Joe hasn't done a lot. Would you be worried if you're Essendon? And Jared Healy was, before the question had even finished, was like, no, why?
I think it was
not
Dermot.
Essendon, Brisbane.
Yeah, I think it was Dermot. Dermot was just kind of like, or maybe it was, I don't know. Whoever it was, they were just like, yeah, I mean, some days as a key forward, games. It just doesn't happen for you.
You don't
and
need
who cares?
Him today. That's fine.
It literally doesn't matter because your team's won by, you know. I don't even remember. How much did we win by? I forgot.
64 points.
I love to see it. Some big wins. Brisbane in the past, if I can be critical about previous seasons, they kind of didn't put the foot down and kill teams. And it hurt the percentage. Mm-hmm. Where the percentage is right now, it's currently higher than we've ever had in those last two successful-ish sort of seasons.
You leapfrogged the Cats, mate.
Yeah. If you had anyone in the Brisbane back line in your fantasy team at quarter time, you were just like, what the fuck, cunts? Because the ball just didn't go down there. In the first, like, at least the first 10 minutes of the game, I don't think they had an inside 50.
Jesus
Christ. It was, you know, that pressure we talked about with Melbourne on the Bulldogs. Brisbane just brought that. Like, so next Friday night could be fucking huge.
It's going to be big.
Do you know what this Zorko. Of?
Yeah, so you go, Joel.
I was just going to say, because, like, they scored 65 points, which is, like, a decent-ish score. But you scored 129 points. Shades of, like, the... And look, this was definitely a worse game, but shades of, like, the Essendon and North Melbourne game, where it's, like, you murdered them, but you also let them score, but also, like, it was just a demolition.
Yeah, the weird thing, too, was... So we got up by, like, you know, 7 goals in the first quarter, and then largely it was somewhat even for the next 3 quarters, with Brisbane winning by like 1 or 2 goals per quarter sort of thing. Yeah. It was like, the commentators said it, the game's kind of just in like a holding pattern. It was kind of, if you weren't a fan, it was a kind of boring game to watch, just because Brisbane murdered them early and then just sort of like,
well, kept
like,
them at arm's length.
That'll do. Mm-hmm. We've sort of done what we have to do.
This game was the football equivalent of, you know, when you had like a younger sibling and they run at you and try and punch you and you just put your arm out and they can't get near you. That's what this game was. Brisbane just put its arm out. And the Giants were just flailing and couldn't get anywhere near.
There is one very, very important thing that we haven't mentioned yet. We mentioned it at the top of the episode, but we have not mentioned it while talking about this game. And that is Mitch the Ram Robinson had the fucking game of his life.
It's the best game of his career.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
30 touches, 4 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
That's a career best goals, I think. I think he kicked, he either kicked 3 or 4 in his very first game. And then 200 plus games later, he's equaled or better on the weekend.
I think
which
it
is
was
just
three,
awesome.
Because I'm pretty
three
sure
on
four
debut,
was his
and then and then four, and they were good goals.
12
one of them, was the miracle on grass sort of spot on the ground.
Yeah.
After the siren went, and he just launched it. Love to see it. He had 30 touches and 4 goals.
Yeah,
like that's fucked.
He's really stepped up in the absence of Neil. Like, massively.
Big time. Yeah, like
who could be back next week?
Fagan said he'll be ready, which is fucking crazy. I'd probably just sit him on ice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't risk him against Melbourne, which sounds crazy because they're the number one team, but it's kind of like we've won 7 without him, right? Or 7, sorry. I think we've won 4 or 5 without him. I don't know. Just back the form in. Also, back yourself to probably, you're going to have to play Melbourne in the finals. So leave a few things up the sleeve, maybe. But Robbo was awesome. And the Special K inspired Zorko had 35 touches and 2 goals. He's a freak. He's
Special
back.
Special K.
He's back in all Australian form again.
Thank you,
Tell
Special
you
K.
Yeah.
Special K is like our magician.
He saved the career of Zorko, to be honest.
Yeah.
He was clearly on the way to the scrap heap. Sean, so well done, Special K.
Sean, I'm just looking at some stats here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In how many games of football would Daniel Rich not be the number one meters gained player for Brisbane?
Oh, I mean, it could happen. Who was it? Was it Robbo or
Robbo.
Zorko?
Almost 700 meters from Robbo and then
that's
Zorko
big from
next.
Him. Yeah. Oh, I mean, Tom, and I'll tell you exactly why. They didn't... All right, what did the Giants score? What was their goals?
10 goals, 65.
10 goals, 5. There you go. 5 behinds. They were extremely accurate. They were lucky they were so accurate the score would have been worse. Daniel Rich gets a lot of his meters gained because he plays on from taking the kick-ins.
Oh, that's true.
That's what it was. And also, the ball just didn't live in the back line. So the backman, Daniel Rich still got like about 100 fantasy points. But he didn't have his normal impact because the Giants were shit.
Well,
also, it's the first game that they have lost with Shane Mumford playing. Yeah.
Get him out. He's no longer a talisman.
I'll tell you what. Dermot Brereton has changed a lot in recent years where he doesn't want to advocate violence, but anytime he's commentating a game with Shane Mumford, he 100% wants Mumford to kill somebody. He kept like giggling his way through the game and talking about Mumford's due for a week off anyway. Maybe he should take a few people with him.
He loves the big mummy.
Yeah, loves him.
I think he's the commentator who coined the phrase the mummify.
Yeah, probably. Good on him.
Congratulations on the huge win, Sean. Also, you kicked 19-15, so it could have been even more fucked.
With 13 individual goal kickers as well.
Yeah, that's fucking hell.
That's just coming crazy from everywhere. Yeah.
Mm. Jesus.
It's all happening in Brisbane. Love it.
So were you, right?
Yes.
Next game. The second worst game of AFL in history also happened this weekend, which was the game that I'm barely even going to talk about. St Kilda played North Melbourne. St Kilda won by 20 points. If you're a Saints supporter, you shouldn't be happy with that. If you're a North Melbourne supporter, you should probably not be happy also. The end. Next game.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Both hey, teams. Mate. Saints.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Saints
one.
Still a chance at finals.
Yeah. Fucking.
It's disgusting.
I think it was Fox Footy. No, it was the AFL website. It was
It's the most dumb. Like, my brother sent me 3 messages about it today, just furious. He's like, my team's 5th and we're playing okay without going great and we've been written off. Saints are garbage and they beat the bottom ranked team and they're back in contention.
Yeah, so for anyone who didn't see this, and thank your lucky fucking stars, the AFL website published an article about how, well, the headline for the match review of this was Saints still in finals contention after holding off North Melbourne. And Saints are probably, they're one of the worst teams to watch this year. Sorry, Matt, if you're listening. But they're just wildly inconsistent. Some weeks it doesn't seem like they care.
Here you go. Just like looking at the score, Worm, they kicked 1-2 to 5-1 in the last quarter.
Yeah, North Melbourne turned.
Yeah, North really like lifted in the last quarter. So that's, if you're a North fan, like be somewhat proud.
There's a bit
of that.
Hope there.
But St Kilda, I think they're up by about, you know, 7 or 8 goals at 3-quarter time. They should have turned that into like a murder, and they didn't. So it's piss week. Piss week by them. You know, the whole keeping their season alive.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, they're only 1 game behind Richmond.
Yeah.
It's the percentage that's a killer. And also that they're shit and they beat the bottom team. So, you know, big deal.
It's crazy that they're, like, we'll get to another team that's, there's speculation that maybe a team that's not in the 8 that wasn't considered to be anywhere near the 8 a couple of weeks ago is now all of a sudden maybe looking to shake off the 8 a little bit.
Juicy.
Yeah, it's crazy to like look at them and be like, oh yeah, they might make the 8 now because they're playing very exciting football, and then look at St Kilda, who are playing the worst football, and being like, oh yeah, they could make the 8. So could Fremantle, so could fucking GWS. They're in the same boat.
Gold Coast.
Carlton won't.
Here's the thing about the Saints, right, though. So they beat North Melbourne and the hope's back on. They've got Sydney and then Adelaide and then a bye, which they're no guarantee to win that, and then Richmond. That's their next 4. They might win one of those next 4.
They'll win 1 or 2. If they win 2, people will be like, oh, they're back. I reckon they'll, because they're also a team, they make me so angry, but they could easily like roll Adelaide and then fucking roll fucking Richmond. Not Richmond. They won't beat Richmond. No.
They'll get smashed by Sydney too.
Yeah. Disgusting. Next game.
Speaking of disgusting, Hawthorn in general. Disgusting.
Yes.
Awful. Bad.
A team that someone may have been Kane Corns. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was Kane Corns, said they're the team that are the furthest away from a flag currently.
That is a big, big call. The only
thing he said it the same way that he said every other thing he ever says, Tom, like it was a complete fact. And he was just like, yep, they're the team that's the furthest away from a flag. Moving on.
Just with the cold, dead eyes of a shark.
While Mitch Cleary sat next to him and be like,
one nice thing about this game is not about necessarily the game, but did you see that the Suns actually put together and gifted a specially made Indigenous Guernsey for Sean Burgoyne? Like a Suns jumper with his number and name on the back?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. They gifted it to him after the game.
That's like cool.
I thought it was a really nice touch. But yeah, they're real good. They're a team on the up, and Hawthorn are a team whose coach will probably be coaching Collingwood next year. So,
Tuke Miller had a fucking enormous game.
I love Tuke Miller. I used to hate him. Now I think I love him. He's had like 5 or 6 games in a row where he's had like 30-plus touches. He's a beast.
That is correct, Sean. There is only one other player in the history of the Gold Coast Suns to do that, and that man's name is Gary Ablett Jr.
Mm. Oh, rarefied air.
Son of God territory from Tuke.
Bible club. Yeah. Jesus.
Here's a stat that young Gaz Ablett Jr. would not have come anywhere near, though. Tuke Miller had 7 tackles also in the game.
Fuck.
Gaz loved to tackle back in the day.
Yeah, before he had a good shoulder. Nah, good shoulders. He was a tackle beast.
Yeah. Before they Gold Coast broke both his arms, making him carry an entire team.
Yeah. And then his spirit.
He got a sore neck from all those Brownlows.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit left him and he couldn't tackle anymore.
And then he came back to Geelong and he found it again.
Well.
Next game?
Yeah, why not? Anything good happen on the weekend on Saturday night? I was watching some movies and had a pretty quiet night in, and I thought, oh, I'll pop the footy on.
I was also watching some movies for the Scaredy Boys podcast, new episodes every Friday.
Ah,
but then something horrifying was happening on the local TV screens. Something was happening to the Eagles.
Sean, you would be absolutely right, because at halftime, West Coast kicked 9 goals straight. Essendon kicked 5-7. And they were, like, and Essendon kicked the last 2 goals of that quarter. So, at points, they were very much on the ropes. And at Optus Stadium, of all places.
Not a good place to be on the ropes, Optus Stadium.
The moment you step foot on there, you're on the ropes. So when you're on the ropes in the game, you're really fucking on the ropes.
I was, at halftime, I reckon I was about a minute. I didn't in the end, but I was a minute away from messaging Sean being like, ah. Should have changed my tip, Sean. They've done it to us again. But I believed, because I should have.
But then...
Yes.
Fucking hell. A bit of a third quarter magic. And then a fucking enormous fourth quarter meant that the Essendon Bombers beat the West Coast Eagles by 16 points at Optus Stadium when Essendon were fucking dead. But then they just resurrected. Well, that's the thing, actually. I say that they were dead, but they were never fucking dead. They were fucking chaotic, and West Coast eventually just got tired, and Essendon were like, yum, 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 and fucking gobbled them up!
But that's genuinely true. Watching this game, it was essentially a case of the dam is going to break for West Coast at the moment. They were relying on the fact they'd kicked 9 straight.
Yeah.
And were playing brilliantly, whereas Essendon just couldn't get it going. But the entire game, I think Essendon's pressure rating was in the elite to above average category for most of the game.
Blowing the fucking end off the gauge, Tom.
Boys, what's the deal with Nick Nat? Is he... He's played the full year, hasn't he, so far?
Yep.
So why does he... Why does he only play 70% game time?
He's done that for years.
So is he just not fit enough? Because that's what you notice in the last quarter. Nick Nat's just, like, gassed. He's just run out of it. And, like, so is the whole team, really. They shouldn't have brought Yo back, probably, because I don't think he could run out of form.
Well, I think the issue was they were like, we'll bring Yo back, and then we'll be able to rest him late. But then the problem was they lost Tim Kelly early.
The arrogance of that is ridiculous.
It's stupid, yeah.
Don't bring Yo back. I think, did Yo play reserves last week or something? And I think he played like 60% of
played
the game.
One game in the reserves.
Play reserves again and play 100% of the game and then come back. The arrogance to think, we'll be enough, we'll be far enough ahead and then we can just rest him. Pathetic from West Coast.
I think they drop out of the eight. Yo was playing forward. Like, they named him at forward. He was playing in the forward line because, you know, getting back into it. But yeah, I think they then just... couldn't handle the pressure. This is very similar to the way West Coast have lost games, where they're kind of in it, but if you kind of work them out, like they, in that game against us, we beat them by heaps. They were all over us in the first quarter, very lucky on a few goals, and then we ran over the top of them. Their luck went for 2 quarters against the Bombers, and then the Bombers, like after half time, what, you kicked, Joel, 7 or 8 goals, and they kicked 2.
Hmm. It's a bit like that Richmond thing, isn't it? Where it's like, if you can take all their best hits, you just got to hang in long enough and then you can get them.
You've got to take your chances against them and, hang in.
Yeah.
Because that was almost our problem. Inaccuracy at points. Like, before we kicked those last 2 goals of the second quarter, we'd kick 3 goals, 7. And that's disgusting. Reminiscent of Essendon of 2 years ago.
Yeah. Joel, there was a moment I loved in the last quarter where Hooker snapped one forward and Stringer took the mark, and then Hooker just ran at him with these like arms in the air like he was Rocky Balboa. He was just like, we fucking did it.
That
was
Hooker
in the square,
did...
like it was guaranteed going through.
Well, I didn't look at it and think, oh, that's a guaranteed one, but Hooker was just like, my man, I trust him.
That's something that's happening a lot, and there was another point where this ties into a huge moment that happened right at the end of the game, which was Essendon were up by 9 points. Oh, no, so it would have been 10 points. We went forward. Hooker went for a mark, but just dropped away because the man standing behind him was Alec Waterman, a player that not only was playing against his brother that day, but also had been dropped by West Coast before we picked him up, who kicked the sealer, and it was enormous. But also when Hooker faded from the mark, he went up for it and then just, like, dropped away. But he kind of ran away with his arms out, by his side. It was a weird-ass action.
He was like, I don't need to do this. This boy's got it.
Yes. But also, like, his arms were, like, this by his side when he was running. palms, like, parallel with the ground. It was funny.
Is Hooker, like, that old player who's getting old, slowing down, so he's resorting to, like, really cheeky, just wild tactics? That's what I think when I watch him. He's just doing weird shit.
Kale Hooker, wild tactics. Sean, I am shocked that a man who is famous for noogieing a 19-year-old after he kicks six on him is resorting to dog tactics.
Not even necessarily dog tactics, just, like, weird shit where you watch it and you go, what the fuck?
I like it. And I also like, because he's a defender, there's always, like, even though he's very slow, I don't know how the fuck he was defending, but he's slow. But it also means that if the ball goes to ground in our forward line, you've got someone that's ready to just fucking murder a defender.
It's true.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves a murder. And he loves a murder that doesn't even, like, necessarily get him anything.
Yeah.
Like, there are a amount of times where he just seemed to throw his body into a contest, and it's like, you can't get your hands to that, and you know, but you don't care.
Yeah. With Stringer back, I mean, I didn't realize how much I missed him until cometh the moment, cometh the package.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, both Hooker, Stringer, and Tipper are all, like, three forwards that you can rely on when they're under crazy amounts of pressure. Like, yeah, they sense the moment, and they're like, yeah, all right, let's go. Strap on, fellas. So that, mixed with our quite young, very exciting forwards, you're like, oh, yeah, sick. Because, like, yeah, Harry Jones, he might shit himself a bit because he's a brand new player.
But didn't shit himself this week, went at 100% efficiency from
Jesus Christ,
10 touches.
And he also was, for the second week in a row, we tried to rest someone. Someone pulled out of the game. We're like, well, you're not resting anymore. Harry Jones wasn't in our side until about an hour before the game started.
Hmm. Who was the out? Oh, 2 centimeter penis. Yeah, 200 centimeter penis, I should say.
I think you were thinking of DeGoey there, Tom.
Yeah, it's true. That's right.
So yeah, Peter Wright hurt his calf in a warm-up, I think. So he'll be out for a couple of weeks. But
oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
But you know who might be back next week?
Draper? Who?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because he had an 8 to 10 week injury, and he got injured in round two.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a chance he'll be back for the Dreamtime at Optus Stadium game. Synonymous game for where Dreamtime is played.
I reckon that'll be good.
It will be good. Yeah. Based on the light show and stuff they put on for this game, I reckon it'll be really cool atmosphere.
It'll be awesome.
Do you know what else is good? And I don't know why this has happened, but I'm sure there's a reason. Do you know what fucking Perth has a lot of? Essendon supporters.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rowdy.
Like, it was very rowdy. And it wasn't just in my living room either.
That's your biggest, outside of Victoria, that state is your biggest base of your membership.
Really?
That's over 3,000 Essendon members in Perth, yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And that's not counting just casual fans as well. That's just members. Yeah.
I cannot wait for Dimmer to fucking sook it up about this, being like, it's unfair. It's not a neutral ground. Fucking fuck you, the AFL. Fuck you, Essendon. Dimmer, I'm getting ahead of that. Fuck you.
Well done, Joel. This was big. This might be one of your best wins for some time.
Yeah. And it's like the lid's fucking off, but not necessarily even with Essendon supporters. The media is all of a sudden being like, Jesus Christ, Essendon, the most exciting team. They're going to make the 8.
But they're also not doing that dog thing that they sometimes do, where if you don't make the 8, they'll be like, yep, that's cool. Because they're like, they're talking about your accidental rebuild, where just because of injuries and a few other things and players leaving and you're kind of rebuilding on the run. And it's panned out because I tell you what, the budget businessman is playing beautifully. Your three young guns are fucking going to win the Rising Star together.
Yeah. And one of our trades, every week the media is going after the former Essendon player. But maybe the rumors that came out of the club during the trade season turned out to be true. And the But when the media was taking his side over the Essendon Football Club, now in practice, when you've seen him allowed to do that, and it just doesn't work, all of a sudden Essendon are looking totally fine for letting him go.
Yep.
Hey, get a budget businessman who can do both, who can run both ways.
Fucking hell. All right, before I get too excited, next game. Adelaide, you fucking blew this. You had it.
Yep.
You had it multiple times.
Yep.
I thought I was going to witness the biggest comeback of all time.
I was going to have the biggest smoky of all time. Get up.
That's, yeah, wild stuff from you, Tom.
I was the Jack only Rewalt. Person in so many leagues.
Jack Rewalt was fucking, like, we hate the rat cunt on the show, I think, but fuck, he was good. He had like a 5-10 minute burst where he was just like unstoppable.
Kick goals, took mark of the year, just went off his absolute fucking head.
Yeah, that was a good mark. Huge. I think he watched that other, what's the name of the young Richmond forward who played?
Bolton.
Nah, the other one. No.
Collier Dawkins or?
Nah, not him, but you know the one I'm talking about.
It's a hyphenated one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coleman
Jones came in and kicked 4 goals, and Jack was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get pushed out of the team when Tom Lynch comes back. So he just fucking erupted. Just insane.
Yeah, he had like 5 shots on goal in like the space of like 3 or 4 minutes, basically.
Yeah.
It was fucked.
Just killed him. Put Adelaide to bed.
Well done to Tex, though, for fucking keeping the dream alive for a while. And again, I mean, credit to Adelaide for when they went into the last quarter like 30 points down.
Yeah.
Fucking went for Richmond still. They almost did the thing that we're talking about, which is if you can weather Richmond, they do bleed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if not for Jack Rewalt, that's a win for Adelaide, I reckon.
Yep. Yeah. They were coming so hard, and then Rewalt just pulled some of the best football of his career out in that last bit.
Hopefully he's gassed for next week, just like exhausted.
Forever.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yep.
Next game. And this was fucking huge as well. Sydney took on Carlton, and for most of the day, it was one of those fucking classic arm wrestles.
Yep.
It was fucking close all day. Like, one team would get, like, a goal or two ahead, the other team would just drag them back until the last quarter, in which case Carlton shit their dacks a little bit.
Yep. Sydney had 22 Jack Rewalts.
Correct. Yes. Well, Sydney, here's the thing. You look at your goals and stuff for the game. And it's like, all right, so where's your win? So Mackay, yeah, he kicked a bag and Cripps kicked a bag. But then Heaney, Papley and Franklin and Haywood and Kennedy all had very good goal-kicking days.
McKay kicked 3 goals, 5.
I think he kicked 4 at least behind in the last quarter. Jeez. So, like, they had a big chance. And every time he got it, he just kept fucking it up.
No chill. Yeah.
Papley kicked... I hate him, but it was a... Are we talking about the one on the run?
Oh,
yes.
Where he just...
Fuck, that's a good goal.
He turned around, saw Doc, and he chased him and went, your knees are fucked, can't watch this.
Yeah.
I
heard him whisper, you're a TC cunt, and fucking just ran away from him. It was incredible. Love to see it.
It was so good.
Oh, he looked at Doherty and went, I could have been you, but I stayed, and then ran off and kicked a goal.
Yeah.
This is why you'll never be me. Literally, I've got a better one. I know we're starting this. As they're running, Doherty was like, you should have been at Carlton, you know, I feel sorry for you. And then Papley turned around and was like, I don't think about you at all. Bang, goal from 50.
That's pretty good, Tom. Yeah.
There's some pretty damning footage for Carlton that came out of this, which is just like when the game's very much on the line, the defense just fell apart. But like, didn't seem like that they were confused or poor communication. It just seems like they didn't want it at all.
Yep.
That's every week. There's like damning footage of Carlton's backline just being lazy or whatever.
And not all of them. Guys like Jones and Wiedering go out there and every week they do their best. But there are some other businessmen who are not doing the business.
Yep. I tell you what, if I was his boss, I'd fire him.
Yeah,
business no more.
Yeah. He's his own boss. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yep. He's
forgotten the combination to open the briefcase.
Yeah. He can't deliver it anymore.
Can't. No. Can we talk about two things? Buddy Franklin is going to kick 1,000 goals this year.
Yeah, well,
he's so on. He's so on.
It's possible, yeah.
It's like 30, right?
34, I think
34,
he still needs to kick. 33.
Halfway point of the season, Swans will probably play finals.
Depends if he plays every game and that sort of thing.
He doesn't need to play every game. He could just have a couple of games where he has a day out and kicks 5 or 6.
Tom, it's possible. The dream's alive.
Tom, he needs to kick like 3 a game and play every week. So he can't just have a couple where he kicks 5 or 6. That puts him behind what you're saying.
No, no. But if he has a couple where he kicks 5 or 6, then he doesn't need to play every game. He then only needs to play another 1 or 2 and kick like 2 or 3. It is so gettable.
It's gettable.
Pencil it in for round 4 of 2022.
Nah, first week of the finals.
Grand final day.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's a shame because he won't kick any on Harris Andrews.
Yeah, nah, but he'll kick the first goal of the game. Wait, no, I don't know when I want it to happen. Maybe in the third quarter. Crowd runs onto the field. Sydney get rattled. Brisbane get the momentum back. Win the premiership.
That's big.
Yeah.
I think whenever it happens, Longmire would want it to happen late in the game when they're comfortably ahead.
Oh,
because
for sure.
I've never seen a team do well after the crowd has stormed the ground.
Do you think it'll happen?
Absolutely will. 100%.
Crowd, do you reckon they'll... I mean, it's can you stop the crowd?
You can't.
Will the crowd do it, though? I don't know if they'll... I don't think the crowd will realize. Well, actually, they'll definitely do it.
What do you mean?
You don't think the crowd will realize that Buddy is going to kick 1,000 goals for the first time since Tony Lockett?
Yeah, come on, mate. Wash your mouth out.
Fuck it, Al Dushy. You shouldn't be on this show after that. That's me territory.
It's worse.
And I'm a huge fuckhead.
Yeah, that's true. I'll agree with that.
The biggest.
One more thing before we move on. If we're saying Buddy's passed it, people saying Eddie Betts has passed it, was like, hey guys, I'm just going to have another crack at goal of the year if that's all right with you, and just pick a ball up one-handed and carry it like a fucking tray of delicious dinner.
It was a good goal.
How fucked was that?
Yeah, it was a ripper.
I love it.
Yeah, both Buddy and Eddie have been, I mean, I think even this show has been like, oh, fucking hell, probably shouldn't have done that, probably should have called it at some point, but no, we were wrong.
Yeah.
But so was everyone.
Yeah. No, I stand by the Eddie one.
You think you should have retired last year?
Yeah. Yeah. He's only had 2 or 3 good games.
Yeah, but I think he can get
one more goal
good...
a year.
Yeah, and who's he kicking goals against, though, Tom?
Sydney are pretty good.
No, but that... Yeah,
they
Sydney
smashed
are,
both. They beat both of us.
Yeah,
they beat How Good's Footy.
How many goals did he kick against Sydney?
2. One?
2. Yeah, whatever. He kicked 5 goals. Wasn't that against a shit team?
He kicked 4 against us, I think.
Yeah, shit teams. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. No, I love Eddie. I think he's great.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Eddie Betts and Buddy Franklin kicking goals is good for footy. Eddie Betts and Buddy kicking goals in Indigenous round is good for footy.
I know. Yeah. He kicked 3 on us. Mackay kicked 4 and Hooker kicked 5. We lost, but Hooker kicked 5.
Big. That's good.
It's so funny. Imagine rolling in to the 2021 AFL season and being like, yeah, Hooker's going to kick 5+ goals in multiple games. You'd be like,
yeah.
You're
I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
final game of the round. A good team played a shit team.
Boys, the penis is awake.
Only against shit teams.
Yeah, it's actually, I think I messaged you guys and said that he was awake, but... It's a flat track performance again. So let's see how they do against a good team.
I think what they're going
to
start.
Which they might have to wait. Are they going to buy this
week?
They're
going to buy. And then it's Battle of the Reed household.
Oh, then they play Geelong. So then whoever they play the week after, hopefully that's like a good matchup for them. Where they play a good team.
Fuck you.
Tom, look at your performance this weekend and tell us that you're a good team.
Yeah, come on, mate.
We are a good team.
You need to go. No, you need to soul search in the week off.
I don't think we do.
Yeah,
we've got
a lot
of
definitely
injuries
do.
And we'll get out the other side and be delicious.
A lot of injuries. So did Brisbane. We've won 7 in a row.
We've only lost 1 game since lost to that soul-searching loss to Melbourne.
They haven't looked good, though, have they? Some of them.
2 of those wins have been big wins against good opposition.
2. Only 2. I say no more, Tom.
We're flying.
It speaks for itself.
Right. Eddie Betts kicked 5 against the Bulldogs, who are probably not a shit team, which is...
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Hey,
shit
look,
back line.
When you're wrong, you're wrong. And this time you were wrong, Tom. So we'll move on. I apologize to Eddie.
Oh, fuck.
I still probably would have retired.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom, you're going to be like, let's have a look at next week. And I'm going to say yes, but first, let's just take a bit of a look at the How Good's McDonald Tipping Footy top five, because ooh, our footy tipping top five at the moment, hectic.
Ooh.
A lot of names that we haven't seen there before, and a lot of,
like me,
a lot of big tips. No, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom.
I tell you what, if Adelaide had got up, boys,
yeah, you might have climbed out of the bottom five.
Well, that's the thing, Tom. A close smoke is exciting, but it means you got the loss and everyone else got the win. So, like,
and I would have had the double effect of backing Essendon as well.
Yeah, so I backed Essendon, but I also backed fucking Richmond. So I got 8 this week. The only one I didn't tip was
Melbourne.
Yeah, didn't tip Melbourne.
Yeah,
I got 7.
I got 7.
So, currently in 5th spot in the How Good's McDonald Tipping Footy, How Good's Footy Tipping Competition, Brownlow Hawkins on 72.
I mean, he could get the 3 votes because he was the only player that showed up on Saturday. So
then at number 4, we have Smiley Mick on 73 points.
Yep.
Then at number 3, we have Snakey Jakey sitting on 74 points.
Is that your brother?
Nah, he'd be Snakeob.
Yeah.
I don't think he then, tips.
Coming at number 2, Amazing Bagman.
Oh, the former champ.
And number 1, someone that's popped up this season, I think. Or at least has flown so far under the radar that I have not seen this name until this year. But also on 75 points, but has Bagman pipped on margin by over 60 points.
Oof.
Is Lauren Andrew.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
Smokey.
Yeah.
Big Smokey.
Come from nowhere.
Lauren. Big.
Just for a bit of insight to the hosts' positions currently.
Nah, we don't
need
to know.
We have Coach Carter, 22nd, on 69 points. Nice.
Yep.
We have Dusha on 36th, 68 points. On one behind. And Tom,
he's lost it.
I'm like 94th, I think.
Okay, so I've scrolled past 94.
Oh,
didn't
no.
Didn't see you there.
No, okay, not triple figures.
Nah, he was 93rd last week. He wouldn't
have scrolled. Yeah, you fucked it, mate. I'm 91st.
I apologize. I did, yep. You're 91st.
It's all right. There was a period where I was 124th. I've never pulled off my amazing feat of the AFLW tipping where I was the second lowest person on the site.
In the world.
On the whole of the tipping site, every competition. Speaking of the women's comp, today is the first day of the trade period. So I might have my heart broken in a couple of days' time.
Yeah. So by next Purcell week, leaves. We'll... no doubt be fucked.
Yep.
Taylor Harris is in all sorts of trouble when it comes to the trade.
Sabrina is officially a Magpie, boys.
Oh, it breaks your heart.
Good for her, though, I think.
No. It hurts to watch your heroes tumble so low.
Yeah. All I know is that, yeah, we're probably going to lose Purcell, but we'll pick up Chloe Shear from the Crows, which will be very nice.
Yeah. Things are all fucked. But let's take a look at next week. So, fucking hell. After primetime Friday night last week, we got another fucking primetime game.
Big prime
Melbourne
time.
Take on the Brisbane Lions. Was in Alice Springs, but I believe it's being moved now.
I think it's going to be the SCG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's enormous.
Bad for Brisbane.
You don't really play well there, do you?
They don't play well there, no.
Does it suit Melbourne, though?
Don't know. Against all odds, we're probably still going to win by four goals.
Yeah, Brisbane, but it'll be tight. I reckon 4 points.
I'm going to go Brisbane by two goals.
Oof. Yeah. Good work.
Saturday, St Kilda take on Sydney.
Sydney.
Oh, fucking hell. Next game, and this is the time slot it deserves. 4:35 Saturday afternoon.
Prime time.
Adelaide take on Collingwood.
Adelaide.
Ugh.
It's at Adelaide Oval.
Adelaide.
Although, that also might change.
Nah.
I'm not sure yet.
I've heard that Collingwood are expecting to be able to fly in, fly out.
Adelaide.
Now, up the stadium.
Dreamtime, magic
night.
Time, baby.
Jeez. Fucking hell. Another fucking prime time game.
Juicy.
Well, if we play like we did at that stadium exactly 7 days prior, Essendon. I think that we will be too chaotic for Richmond, and they'll be too busy having a sook about the game not being at the MCG to focus. Where Essendon, who I didn't actually mention this before, but after the game, after the game, they interviewed Stringer, and they were like, "Oh, what's it like?" And he's like, first of all, Stringer, this is the first time I've ever seen him be like switched on with like what he's saying to the media, because he said something that felt very much like a dig at Richmond. And he was like, yeah, to be honest, I don't know what we're doing. We're meant to be flying out tomorrow. We're all just pretending that's happening, but it probably won't happen. If not, I don't care where we play. It's exciting. Put us anywhere. We did it last year. We'll do it again this year. And then he said-
This is the best part of it.
I mean, that was big because I was like, oh, fuck, that's a dig at Dimmer. And then they were like, oh, what's the attitude like? He's like, oh, it's great at the moment. We got a lot of young guys, though. It feels a bit like a school camp. You will not believe the amount of Mario Kart that's happening.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's the secret to success, Mario Kart.
Powerful.
He just said everyone's really excited. Like,
yeah,
chaos.
I would be too if I was playing Mario Kart. But
I know there was a fair bit of, I think, like, Gran Turismo happening in the Cats hub last year. I know that
that's the most Geelong fucking game. A really boring racing game.
It's the cheese platter of fucking games, mate.
Car racing games or video games are the secret. Brisbane have a whole lot of gamers in their side and they're flying. Mm. It's the secret.
Call of Duty, baby.
If your team is
blowing heads off. Essendon, like throwing shells and fucking getting speed bursts.
Well,
I love
that. Makes sense. Mario Kart's a cheeky cunt game.
It's a chaotic
game.
It makes
a lot of sense.
Yeah. And Gran Turismo is a classic game from a million years ago.
Now I want to know who Stringer picks. Like, what character does he go?
Peach.
Really?
I think Stringer would be like a Bowser.
Nah. Stringer plays as Peach.
Hook as Bowser. And has to ask what the controls are every week.
Yeah, how do I play again? Wins.
Yeah, wins.
Does it one-handed. Actually, then, Hooker plays as Wario.
Yeah, someone's got him. And that someone's me.
Oi!
Whoa.
Then, Sunday, Carlton take on West Coast. West Coast will bounce back, I think.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, it's meant to be the MCG, but
it's
I
not.
Doubt
it'll
it.
Be the SCG.
Mm. SCG?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm going to go Carlton. They got used to the ground last week, and West Coast are flat track boys who suck shit on the road. Carlton for me.
And then Fremantle take on Western Bulldogs. Western Bulldogs.
Yes, Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, so go on, Tom. Say it. Say it.
No, I can't. Say it. I can't. Say it. I can't.
Go on.
Of course you can. It's not even that bad, mate. Just say it.
Fucking Freo. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. Whatever. Well, they're Tom's sinking even further down the ladder. That's all right.
What have I got to lose, boys? I'm 91st.
More pride.
Credibility, pride.
Don't have either of those.
Integrity.
Don't have any. Don't have that.
It's a spot on the show.
Yeah. You wouldn't be the same show without me. For example,
no, we'd be
how would you know to do this next?
Tom, I'm going to stop you there. This episode has run long and has been plagued by technical issues. The inbox, no doubt, is firing, but unfortunately, it's going to keep firing for another week.
Nah, good. I respect it. And look, yeah, technical difficulties.
Yep. Big time.
It's been all hectic. Hopefully, the final product here has turned out well. And if it's listenable and you're enjoying it, Tom, where can you let us know how good everything has been and how everything has sounded?
If you want to send us an email and be like, man, the technical aspects of tonight's show were superb. There was not a point where any of the hosts dropped out noticeably. And I'm going to let you know that at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13. And there was multiple points where hosts dropped out here. So if you didn't notice, let us know how good we sounded. It'll boost our confidence. And we'll roll into next week just fucking fired up, ready to read 100 emails.
Great editing, Joel. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, mate.
Preemptively thanking myself. Well done, heroic. Joel Dusha. Captain's performance.